Okay, we're going to be jumping in a scripture in Isaiah, but before we do that, I just need to tell a bit of a story, and I hope I'm not going to put my wife in an uncomfortable position here. I haven't, but I'm sure she'll be fine. So I was reminded of the story when we got together, or when we saw each other for the first time in 2011, and at that time I was facilitating in discipleship classes. And she walked into this class, so all very boskop, rugged kind of lady, short camo shorts, geen skoene, and sy het opgedaan. She rocked up into this course, and I was helping facilitating, and I had to kind of, obviously I checked her out a bit, but I wasn't allowed to because I'm a facilitator, and there was rules, no relationships in the first year of any student or anything in this course, in this hostel, and at that time, you know, she'd come from a rugged background, and I don't want to expose too much, but in class, somehow, every single time, she found a way to be at my table. So, just to let you know, I wasn't only looking at her, but I think she was also eyeing me out, and she was making a bit more effort than I was to try and make that known. And I was trying to keep to the rules, near what these no string, ek gaan nou niks sê, and that is no niks, and I need to protect this heart of mine in the midst of this, and for, what was it, 6 weeks? No, 3 months? How long it was? Anyways, I can't remember. In class, constantly finding her at the same table, getting to know one another, kind of watering the garden, but playing water fights with one another. It's just romance, all without saying it. And one of the other leaders came to me and he put me in his room and he said, listen, Brett, I just want to throw a stone in the bush here and see if anything comes out. What's up with you and Lisa? Actually, nuxie, nothing. Zilch. Zero. But in the midst of that time, I was seeking the Lord for, yo, because I was 27 at that time. Was I 27? Can't remember. But I was single for about 6 or 7 years. So when I met the Lord, I decided the next lady that I'm going to get involved with is going to be my wife. I don't know you met a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and kijk, ja, nee, ek weet nie, nee. The next lady that I get involved with is going to be my wife. So in the midst of these emotions that was bubbling and boiling, I was asking, Lord, is it her? Is it her? Very spiritual, and I came across, I remember I didn't share it with anyone. I shared it with one person. I came across a picture in a magazine of this cartoon guy playing beautiful piano. It's a beautiful art. It's someone that, I don't know, some famous artist. And he was playing piano, and above his head, there was all these letters, just random letters, A, B, C, G. But in the midst of that letters, all that I could see was L-I-Z-E. It's like, this is it. This is it. And that's all that I saw. But now very spiritual and just trying to make sure, because this is a massive decision. Is she my wife? Is she not? And there's excitement and I'm kind of uncertain, but there's a lot going on here. And I remember, yeah, very immature possibly, I'm not sure, but I took that piece of paper and I put it next to my bed that night. And I said, Lord, if it is her, I want to wake up and I want to see that L-I-Z-E circled. The Lord can do anything. I woke up, and there was nothing. Bitter, disappointed, were. Very disappointed. But in the midst of that, I was really asking the Lord, Lord, is what must I do here? Everything in me wants to pursue, but I've got no peace to pursue. And I stuck with this. And I remember it came to a point over some time where she was also just trying to show me that she's interested. And I had to sit her down on the steps there at the hostel. Beautiful view. And I said, Lisa, you are not my wife. I had to say it because I didn't have any peace to pursue. And I took that no peace to pursue as a she's not my wife. And I had to make that choice. And I don't know what was going on in her heart, but it was probably turmoil. I'm not sure. For me also. But in the midst of that, we came to terms with, this is not it. And something happened incredible in our lives where the first love became the Lord. And long story short, 2 years went by where we became extremely good friends. We were still working in the same organization. We still kind of in communication. We were chatting, and I enjoyed her. Her personality was incredible. She enjoyed me. We were good friends. We came to the point of, I don't know what she was praying at the background there, but she was probably praying and quiet, let this just disappear. I don't want nothing with him, and I'm not sure. Maybe it was so. And 2 years later, I remember, because I kind of got over this. Okay, it's done. And 2 years later, this thing started boiling again. I was in Namibia, walking there in Okahanya in the beautiful veld, Doringbome veld, wind wat so waai. And this kind of desire for her started. I said, ek is nou nie lus vir dit nie. I've kind of got over this. And something new in my heart started developing for Lisa again. And I remember for a while, again, I'm going into this mode of, Lord, just make it clear to me, please. Is she my wife or not? And I was walking through the Namibian veld there, and I remember the Lord just said, Brett, do you want her? I think, what type of vraag is that? Of course. Yes. He said, go for it. Go for her. And obviously the Lord wanted to establish things in our life in this process, whatever it was. It's probably a bunch of details. But now I had the yes, the go-ahead. As I remember walked through there and I said, Lord, she's my wife. I haven't talked anything with her. And I'm committing. And with the Lord, I'm saying, I'm committing until death do us part right now. I'm in, all in. Whether she says yes or no, I'm not sure, but I'm all in. And there was this build-up and this massive excitement in my heart because after 6-7 years of being a single guy desiring a partner, there's all of a sudden this, yes, it's time. Excitement. There's rejoicing here, but don't want to share with too many people because she still needs to say yes, hopefully. And I remember I climbed on the bus. We were on the way to Zambia. And at that time, maybe the young people won't know, but there was BlackBerries, BBM. You get a package, and you can BBM till jy blow is. Where you don't, jy kan net. It was lekker. And on this bus, I've got a lot of time, Intercape bus, not so luxury, but it's all right. And up we go, all the way up to the north of Namibia, the Caprivi Strip. Now, if you don't know where it is, it's beautiful. It's Bosveld, daar's niks. Dis lekker. And I'm in the bus, and it's getting dark, and I'm going messages here. And she's thinking, what's going on with this O? He's giving me a little bit more than he's ever given me. And she's contacting her mentor and says, listen, speak to Brett. He's playing with my heart here. Tell him to stop it. Because she's come to terms with it. I'm not. And in my heart, this is a massive excitement because it's coming to the point where I'm going to communicate that, hey, luister hierso, ek en jy. And it started getting darker in this bus. Now, if you've ever traveled on a bus for 3 days through Africa, it's very unromantic. Nothing about it is pleasant. Because people are tired, they're snoring, it's dark, no one is doing anything, it's just you just have to get through this. And on that bus, I can't remember what time it was late, it's 10, 11 o'clock, and BBM. Now I'm going. I'm giving her all signals that I'm in. And I don't know what was going on with her, but I remember everyone around me was chupstil, quiet. And it's dark, and it's in the middle of the Caprivi Strip on this bus on the way to Zambia. And I decided, we've been chatting enough now. I've got a couple of rand left over for airtime. I'm going to call her. And I called her. But I remember in my heart there was this, I can't explain it. It was like fireworks. It was huge. It was, and everything around. He langs my, he next to me in this bus. It was nothing. But everything was here. And I phoned her, and I said, Lisa, I love you. For the very first time. And I was exploding in my heart. And everything around me was just black and quiet. And she started bursting out in tears. And she was at the guest house at that time. And one of her friends walked in and thought, oh, yeah, iemand is dood. Someone is dead. Because she was snot and trane, and it was hectic. And for a couple of moments, we just told each other, yeah, I love you. And this excitement, this joy, this rejoice, this, I don't know, you guys will know, it's if you've been in that, you know, you've been waiting, and then all of a sudden, yeah, she is. It's something incredible. And money ran out, and BBM was still there, and so we chatted until 4 o'clock in the morning on this bus in the dark Caprivi Strip on the way to Zambia. And then this became a reality. I've got a woman. Slacker. Huh? We gotta get married. It's incredible. And I was there in Zambia for I can't remember how long, and then she came up. Nah? Or did I come down? I can't remember. I came down, and obviously now I have to speak to father-in-law, Engelsman, Langhare. Hectic situation. It was God's grace that he saw that this guy likes the Lord. He loves the Lord, so he's okay with that. Zero. Anyways, long story short. And then we got to see each other for the first time. I remember she came to pick me up. Yes, it was like I was in, I don't know what, heaven? No, maybe not, but it was beautiful. For the first time, I could see her, and I could share my emotions. I could grab her and I could hug her in a completely different way than this kind of side hug. Ja, hoe gaan dit? It was an embrace. It was beautiful. It was exciting. And we went to go eat out that night. And I think all that we did was just chat and talk about 2 years of God's goodness and our friendship and what it's come to now. Long story short, I had to go again up to Zambia, and we were apart. And now we, during being apart, and I said, oh no, we went up into the mountain. I remember we went to Helderberg, and I said, listen, I don't know, you don't really have a choice here, but you're going to be my wife. And are you okay with that? And obviously she was okay with that. And we celebrated, and it was a ring, and it was running down the mountain, couldn't stop laughing, and it was this incredible time in our life. It was beautiful. And then I went back to Zambia. She was there, and that was incredibly tough. But at the same time, okay, I was in the clouds. My work was completely different. And during this time away, we decided we're not going to wait around for being engaged for 2, 3, 4 years. So, einde van die jaar, 4 maanden later, 4 months later, we're going to get married. And we arranging all this wedding stuff, and she's that side, and I'm this side. And it was, I can't really explain it, but, and there's a reason why I'm telling you the story. You're probably wondering, what? There's a reason, and it's in line with the scripture that we're going to share. There was this strange, like, I'm super excited for this day that's coming, but there's this effort in between. There's distance in between, and although we are together, we are not face to face. But it's beautiful, but it's tough. And kan ons nie net hier verby nie, want ons wil net daar kom. Can we not just get over this time of engagement, being away from one another? Can we not just get there? I want to be with her. And long story short, all the details was arranged. Got married at Kaleo, and it was incredible. And the reason why I share that, I want to read a scripture, and there's I want to quickly read it out of context, and then I'll read it in context, if that's okay. And it's in Isaiah 62. And we're going to look at it together. So if you have your Bible, you can open up. So in Isaiah 62, verse 5. And now I want to give you a bit of, I want to encourage you. Someone asked me, what do you say when you are on Sunday? Are you preaching? Are you teaching? Are you ministering? Are you Today, I just really want to share and hopefully encourage. And 62 verse 5, as a young man marries a maiden, as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Now, I can try express this in 100 different ways, but you will know how it feels. And this is what God is saying. He's saying, yeah, Brett, and I remember just after being engaged and being in this incredible phase of being overwhelmed, and I came across this scripture, and I was overwhelmed by how God felt about us, his bride. Because I don't always hear this. I hear a lot of to-dos and what we need to do and how we need to respond, and it's all part of it. It's in the Word. But here's a passage where God is saying, this is how I feel about you. And I just felt it all, maybe just a small compared to what God feels about us. But I experienced it. I was overwhelmed. I couldn't get enough. I wanted to be with her, and my everything was in ecstasy. And let's read it in context and dig through it just quickly. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch, the nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will you be called deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, which means delight. You will be delighted in. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a maiden, so your sons will marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so your God will rejoice over you. I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and make her the praise of the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, never again will I give your grain as food for your enemies, and never again will foreigners drink the new wine for which you have toiled. For those who harvest it will eat and praise the Lord, and those who gather the grapes will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Pass through the gates, pass through the gates. Prepare the way for the people, build up a highway. Remove the stones, raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made a proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your Savior comes. His reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people and the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted. You will be called sought after. It came to a point where she was sought after. I pursued. And there's just a couple of things that I wanna bring out this text, but it's absolutely a beautiful story of God's heart from beginning till end. From the reason why he came, our responsibility in the midst of waiting until he comes, and why we do it as individuals and people of God. So there might be a bunch of parallels on how I felt and on the story with Jesus at the moment, in terms of, you know, he said, I'm coming for you, and I want you to be with me, and the way that you feel about your wife, I feel that about you, but the day is not the wedding feast, the wedding, it's coming. And there is this era or this season or this phase or this time that we're in at the moment until he comes. And I know what that feels like, being away, but you're still communicating. You're still with, but you're not, it's not, there's something that there must be so much more. And there is. And that is when he comes again. But in the midst of the waiting, he's showing us his heart. So there's a bunch of parallels, but the main reason why I wanted to share the story is just the emotion of rejoice, the reality of rejoice, this joy, this feeling belonged. When I read this scripture and I realized that this is how God feels about me, I immediately felt I belong. I'm with him. I'm sought after. He's making every effort to come and get me and us as his bride. And there's, and I want to bring out just three scriptures or verses within this, and just to kind of put it out there that we can go and pray through it. But with this in mind, as a young man marries his wife or rejoices over his wife, so the Lord will rejoice over us. And he was talking to a very specific people. He was saying, you, not just you. He's saying, you who call on the Lord, you who make effort, call on the Lord. You give yourselves no rest and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem. And so I want to put us just in a bit of a picture that we're in this time before until he comes. And he's saying, don't give me any rest. I don't know if you guys, men, if there's a task around the house or something that needs to be done and your wife wants it to be done. Anyone knows something like this? Kyk hoe slat hulle mekaar. And my wife is adamant. Yeah, Brett, have you done it yet? I'm going to do it now. Brett, have you done it yet? Has it happened? Stoffels, weet jy daarvan? Huh? And this is exactly what the Lord is saying, but opposite, instead of me saying, oh, weet jy, ek is nou nie lus nie. The Lord is saying, hey, don't give me any rest. Constantly come to me. For what reason? So that I can be established? No. Give yourself no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem, his people, so that the time can come where he can come on this cloud with his trumpet call and we could finally get through this time that we are in so that the wedding feast can happen. And then in the midst of this time, he's also saying a few things to us. He's saying, pass through the gates, pass through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up a highway. Remove the stones and raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made a proclamation. Now, in every marriage, there is plenty of stones. And these stones need to be seen, identified, and hopefully removed. And if we don't, it's going to be a tripping and a falling over, because the reality is we are on this way with one another in this marriage, as we are on this way with our King until he comes. And on this way, clearly he's saying that there is stones, there's things in the way, and he's saying remove them. Why? So that a banner can be raised. This morning's worship was 100% in line. And I want to put it out there. I want to ask, may we seek the Lord and ask him three things. What are the stones in my personal life? The stones in my personal life that is affecting my personal relationship with this King that is calling me sought after. What is the personal stones that the Lord is showing me? This thing in my life, this habit, this whatever it is that's causing me to stumble in my relationship with him. What is it? And remove it in whichever way he shows you. What is the stones within body life, within our congregation, that we as a congregation can identify and say, yeah, these are the things that's on this way, this beautiful way that needs to be removed. And let us ask the Lord, how do we remove it? And let us do it. And then thirdly, what are the stones in our community that is around us, in our schools, wherever it is, that as a people of God, a sought after, how can we address it? How can we remove these stones so that this way will be a way for people of God, that more can come and that we can go? So these three areas, let us ask the Lord in our cell groups, small groups, individuals, families, husband, wife, friends, what are the stones that he's showing you, and what can we do to remove it? And I want to be honest with you, when I read the scripture, raise up, pass through, prepare the way for the people, I don't know if I'm looking at a glass half full, but when I see a picture of this, if I kind of imagine what was happening on this way, I see a people, a group of people, but I see something of celebration. And I'm reading it that way. I'm not sure about you, but I don't see it. Oh, weet jy, ek is nou nie lus nie, and dit is nou nie lekker vir my nie, and this task, I need to do this now, and this church activity, and I know that I don't see that here. I see an incredible yes. Why? Because he starts and he says why. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so I rejoice over you. I'm sought after. I belong. Yeah, Lord, I experience you, see you, I want you, I desire you. I'm on this way. And as a result of me and you, him with me, and the way that I feel about him and how he feels about me, I'm all in. This way, I see it clearly, but I do see stones, for sure. But you know what? As a result of this, him rejoicing, I'm going to identify it. I'm going to take action. And I don't want to name a bunch of things to put us in a box of what the stones may be. I'm sure that the Holy Spirit will show us. And I'm sure he's going to help us to deal with these things in such a way that it's a, yo, these stones are out the way. And one day, maybe when the wedding feast is there, maybe, I'm not sure, but just maybe, when we are looking back, we can see a beautiful way with a bunch of stones and a group of people that love him and rejoice with him for the wedding feast. And so there's many, maybe I want to just give one encouragement of how we can start doing this. And this is in line with that verse 6 and 7. You who call on the Lord. So we know throughout the world there's many that is doing church activities, and but there is some that is truly calling on the Lord. So he's not just saying you. He's saying you who call on the Lord. And he's saying, give yourself no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem. And there's a cross kind of scripture there. If you wanted to read it, I just want to give you a bit of an idea. The parable of the persistent widow. This is a widow that had an issue, and she went to the judge or the court, and she said, listen, do you not see this here? This is not right. And the judge has got nothing to do with God and nothing to do with the people, doesn't really care. And she said, no, I'm going to be persistent here. I'm going to constantly come back. I'm going to irritate the heck out of this judge until there is justice. And she came back over and over and over, and until the judge came to a point and said, luister hier, Sotani, dis reg. I'm going to give you what you need. What is it? And this is the cross reference of this scripture, in that it said, give him no rest. And unlike us, he wants it. Why? Because it is a reality of us coming to him, that we don't get right often. We lean on our own understanding. We make plans very quickly to get these stones out the way. We can identify the stones and we can operate like machines to work well, be efficient. Here's a task. We're going to do it. I've got all the strategies, the plans. And we get in the midst of this way and we see the stones and he's saying, no, you who call on the Lord, come sit on my lap. And out of this place, my wife, my bride, my people, out of this place, I'm going to show you. And what a joy. Not because we've got another task, but we've got a God rejoicing over us the way that, much bigger way that I was rejoicing over my wife. It was a beautiful reality for me. So I want to encourage you that we will take this in our small groups, wherever you're at. Identify stones, being led by the Holy Spirit, by him, because he knows the stones, so that we would stop tripping and falling and sickling through this way. And we're going to still. That scripture is going to be in that Bible until he comes. So there's always going to be stones. So it's always going to be a reality. But let's do it with an incredible passion and a joy. Why? Because of what he has done for us. So with this in mind, we're going to take communion. And the only reason that this scripture in Isaiah has become a reality for us today is because of the finished work of the cross. Finished work of the cross, him. We've got this way that we can walk with him as a result of his bloodshed, as a result of him taking all of the dirt, the filth, the sin on him and taking it where it belongs. And as a result of that, we can really be a bride, a people of God that says, oh, I'm in. I'm all in. with a different attitude. It's not a task. It's a joy. It's a yes, I'm all in. So those that is, are we going to, those that is on duty, maybe we can just hand out the communion, the bread and the wine. And while we're handing that out, I just, you know, as every scripture that I'm reading or learning, if you haven't seen this, this is kind of just like small little, what is the heart of this? What is the heart of this? And just to kind of sum it up, it's saying, this is the heart basically in 4 points. Living intimately with Jesus, learning Jesus' teachings, becoming like him, and continuing his work. Donkey. And we're seeing this in the scripture. We're seeing it in John 17. We're seeing it everywhere. It comes from a place of living intimately with him. And as a result of that, we learn his teachings. We become like him because we learn his teachings and he's in us. And as a result of this that we've experienced with him, we want to continue his work. We want to continue doing what he did when he was here. And part of that, there's a whole Bible that's showing us that. But let us take up our responsibility and identify the rocks, the stones in this way. Let us identify these rocks and the stones. Jy sê, ek het gewonder, waar kom hierdie mooie klavier uit? Ah, dis mooi. So let's just have a moment of being quiet with this idea that God is rejoicing over you. This is how he feels about you. It's an incredible idea for me. An incredible idea for me. So let's just be quiet, Dankie Shal. Let's just think about this together.